This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, I'm Philip C and welcome to The Breakfast Grill. On today's Breakfast Grill, in conjunction with World Bicycle Day, I'm in conversation with Alec Lim. He's the Chief Executive Officer of Beano Technologies, as we understand how their Revo bicycle intends to solve modern mobility challenges through technological advancements. His mission is to build desirable electric mobility solutions by combining beautiful aesthetic with innovative technology. A very good morning to you, Alec. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
I saw the bike. It looks beautiful. Looks really cool. Where can I buy it?
Anytime. It's available online. So I'll buy retails at starting at 3,600 USD. We mainly sell it to European and American markets, but it's available locally if you want.
So I can buy it in Malaysia for Malaysia?
That's correct.
But are there regulatory restrictions for me to use the e-bike?
Yes, that's a good question. In fact, it's a very hot topic since we passed a bill on micromobility restriction. So first of all, my personal thought on regulation, I think regulation is great for any industry, may it be cryptocurrency, may it be ride-hailing or Airbnb. Regulation is definitely great for any industry. It is a starting point, but it's not the end goal. So speaking of regulations in electric mobility, I believe that we have just passed a bill that bans micromobilities like electric scooters, but provides some allowance for electric bicycles, which is great. We see similar trends around the world. So we design our electric bicycle to be compliant to two major markets, the American market, and as well as the European markets. So two different models.
Right, but is it compliant to Malaysian markets now, based on current legislation?
Exactly. So the 250-watt model, which is for the European market, is 100% compliant with the MS standard.
If I purchase a bike now, your bike, for Malaysia, and drive it around Malaysia, will I have any issues? Will the cops call on me?
No problem. If you are riding this American variant, then you have a problem.
What's the difference between the European and American variant?
The primary distinctive specs are the speed limit as well as the motor power.
So give me a sense, right? How does the speed limit and motor power differentiate between the European variant and the American variant?
The European has a ruling called the EN 19154. So what this does is all bikes imported to Europe must have a speed limit of 25 kilometers per hour and a motor power limit of 250 watts. That's different from American variant because, you know, Americans like muscle cars, pickup trucks. So they have a much more lenient...
higher tolerance.
Higher tolerance, correct. They allow up to 750 watts and up to 40 kilometers an hour.
Then what is the sales projection like so far for the Revo bike? How many units have you sold so far?
So far, we have close to 2,600 units in orders.
Orders, and, but not sale yet. So orders mean correct. Sale or has a purchase been made?
In orders means order, which means sales.
Okay.
But the deliveries, because of some supply chain issues, we have fulfilled just a portion of that.
What is the portion? How much percentage have you fulfilled so far?
So far, we have fulfilled close to like 10% of that.
Right.
And we are working very hard to ramp up production to fulfill more. And we plan to complete everything over the next couple of months.
So 2,600, correct me if I'm wrong, that's your order book. You fulfilled 10%, 260. How long did it take you to manufacture and produce these 260 bikes?
I think the pandemic has definitely not helped. These 2,600 bikes, we plan to finish complete all the delivery over the next 4 months.
Yes, but how long did it take you to produce it? You said the pandemic has not been easy for you.
Yeah,
could you give me a sense about, you know, how many bikes are you producing a day?
Right now, we are doing close to 20 a day.
20 a day?
Not a great number. We are ramping that up, hoping to reach 40 a day.
All right. So if you do 20 a day, essentially you could fulfill that 2,600 order book within 3 to 4 months. Would that be fair?
Definitely.
So is the commitment that essentially, you know, I presume when I hear you, the first three batches, or you've talked about the 10% order book, which is about 250 to 260 bikes right. that you've actually produced so far, that took essentially longer than a month or 2 months, right?
It took much longer
yeah. than that. Basically, you're talking like close to a bike a day kind of scenario because right. of the pandemic, or even worse than that. But what you're saying now is that with the opportunity coming through with the huge order book, you are able to turn around these bikes faster and do 20 a day. And if you do 20 a day, essentially you should clear this order book within 3 months then.
Yeah. So in the past, the reason we, it's a new product, ramping up production is not fun. We started off with close to 2 bikes a day, very, very poor performance. And then we started to ramp up more and more. And today we are doing like 20 a day.
20 a day. Is that enough to break even? I mean, give me a sense of what is the cost of producing a bike at the moment?
Yeah, cost has been going up. Our gross margin is somewhere around 40%.
Gross margin?
Yeah, 40% for a hardware product. Yeah, that's correct.
So gross margin takes, it's about 40%.
Quite a healthy number, yeah.
So gross margin is 40%. So how much do you sell the bike for?
Yeah, in the past we started off with a lower selling price, primarily because parts were cheaper.
Right.
And at the same time, we just launched. We wanted to build the MOQ.
Okay.
So in the past we sold for as low as 1,900 USD.
And could you deliver a 40% gross margin at a price of US 1,900?
For the early launches, definitely no. Those who have a much lower gross margin.
Approximately how much? Are we talking about 10% or actually just break even only at the gross level?
There's still some percentage of a profit. But for those early orders, the goal was to reach the minimum order quantity. So that we can start placing orders with suppliers, getting production tooling set up, yeah.
So 1,800, that was the original starting price. I do notice that the prices have gone up, isn't it? Now your website says that it's on average at about $3,000 per bike, essentially. So is that the 40% margin you talk about at 3,000? So essentially, the cost of producing a bike is $1,800. Is that the gross margin? Because if you say gross margin is 40% and the price is about 3,000 ringgit, so 60% of 3,000 is 1,800 US dollars. Is that what you're saying, that the price of producing a bike is 1,800 US dollars per bike?
1,000 plus, definitely.
1,000 plus.
Yeah.
How much has that gone up as a result of supply chain issues and commodity prices?
Depending on what kind of commodity is this. So, for example, aluminum parts have gone up. Raw materials, aluminum has doubled in prices, and finished aluminum manufactured parts have gone up easily 20-50%. Bicycle components have gone up quite a lot as well because of the pandemic, e-bike rush, not helping the bike prices at all. Overall, I would say in average 20-30%. In manufacturing prices.
Does that explain why originally your Revo Airless, the basic model, has gone up from USD 2,200 to USD 2,700, a 25% jump over the 2 years? Is that what's contributing the increase in price there? Is it because of rising material prices and higher labor cost?
Yeah, 100%.
How much margin is affected due to rising prices? Because this was displayed essentially just a couple of months ago. And we are seeing commodity prices continue to skyrocket. So are we going to see another price adjustment up from 2007 to even, let's say, 3002, 3003? Is that an inevitable option for you to maintain your gross margin? Or will you have to sacrifice your margins in order to build market share and build market relevance?
So far, we are seeing commodity prices starting to stabilize. So I would say definitely we're going to see, we have to increase our prices, but that not as much as what we did over the past year.
When you look at your performance, you said 2,600 was the order book. Dissect for me the order book, the 2,600, how much of it was US versus Europe? And what is the ambition? If you say that you're going to produce and are capable of producing up to 40 a day, essentially what you should be targeting for is a production pipeline annually of close to 12 to 13,000, right, a year?
Yes, that's correct.
Now you're at 2,600. What is the roadmap to 13,000, 15,000?
Yeah, so I think production-wise, as long as we maintain whatever trend we're doing right now and then continue to ramp out at our current rate, we will have no problem reaching that scale. As for the sales-wise, we definitely have to do a lot of work. A lot of capturing the market share in Europe, especially.
How do you split that 15,000 market target that you intend to do? I mean, as you said just now, is it going to be predominantly European-driven or will it be also mixed and broad across the markets? What's the percentage split by geographic regions?
Yeah, I would say close to 60% is Europe.
Mm.
And then another 30% in America and 10% for the rest of the world.
So the reality is that, you know, emerging markets like Asia really are not the priority markets for you, isn't it? It is really the goal about producing here, but selling it overseas in markets like Europe and US.
Yeah, 100%. This may not be true for all electric bicycles, but at least for our product, we designed this product with European American customers in mind, and as well as the price point was positioned in such a way that it's appealing to European American customers.
That explains it, because it's very hard to penetrate Malaysia and East and Southeast Asia, isn't it? I mean, the conventional bikes here, motorbikes here, are much cheaper than what you're offering now. It is hard to penetrate it, right? What kind of price point do you need to bring down your bikes to make it attractive in Asia?
Yeah. Speaking of this, Asia is still a very young market for electric bicycle. We don't see much adoption other than in China. So it's less of a price point concerns, but more of a... the market is just not yet ready for electric bicycle.
Why do you think the market is not ready? What is driving that? The lack of interest in e-bikes? What is that issue here in Asia?
Yeah, for sure. So if you look at it, the popularity of bicycles or electric bicycles typically goes hand in hand with infrastructure. So imagine if you have for example, like in Germany and Netherlands, it's like cycling, bike trails everywhere. You have cycling infrastructure, charging stations. So in Asia, we're just not yet seeing that kind of development. So as long as we know that obviously this is a chicken and egg question, but as long as the infrastructure is not there, we think that adoption of electric bicycles is going to be quite limited.
So adoption of e-bikes is a function of the physical infrastructure in place to make this work.
Exactly.
Right, on The Breakfast Grill, I'm in conversation with Alec Lim as Chief Executive Officer of Beano Technologies. After the break, we discuss further the commercial viability of their Revo bicycles. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Welcome back. On The Breakfast Grill, we have with us Alec Lim as Chief Executive Officer of Beano Technologies, and he's in a hot seat as we talk about his groundbreaking Revo bike as we celebrate World Bicycle Day. Now, Alec, break down the cost structure for me. How much of your bike production is raw material? How much of it is labor? How much of it is marketing and distribution cost?
Oh, wow. Okay, I would say that a marketing usually takes up about 15%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, marketing is not cheap. And material cost is always changing. But so far, we are seeing about 60% of that is material cost. Labor, not so much.
About how much labor?
Yeah, less than 5 or 10%.
Less than 5, 10%. So essentially 60, 10, 15, you're talking about 85%. So you're talking about a net margin of 10, 15%. Is that correct? Because just now you were saying gross margin of
That's
your
right.
bike is close to 40%. You net off the fixed costs. You net off all the sales and distribution costs. You're talking about a single-digit margin business. Is that viable and feasible?
I would say that for a startup, if the goal, because we are currently spending a lot of budget on marketing, building the branding, building our distribution So it makes sense to sacrifice a little bit of profit for growth, which I believe most startup is doing. And once we get to a critical mass, then we could always like trade a growth rate for profit.
The issue here, is it the brand or the product and features of the bike? You know, what makes this bike so compelling for a user? Because in the end, the brand will only take you so far. In the end, it's got to be the functionality of the product, isn't it?
Definitely.
So what are the products and features of this bike that makes it so distinctive compared to all the other bikes that we see out there?
For listeners out there who have not seen Revo before, Revo is the world's first hubless, commercially available hubless electric bicycle. So our number one distinctive feature is, of course, our signature hubless wheel. So aside from that, we have added a lot of security and safety features to the bicycle. One of it is our signature biometric sensor. So imagine in America, every 30 seconds, there are two bikes being stolen. Every 30 seconds. So bicycle theft is a big, big problem in the cycling industry. So we designed our bike with a three-level anti-theft feature, featuring GPS tracking, a motion sensor, and an anti-theft alarm, and an internal lock, just to make sure it remains yours. Aside from that, we're seeing many safety features that we see on motorcycles, on cars that are not available to bicycles. For example, the turn signal indicators. We are one of the few brands out there that have turn signal indicators on bikes. Yeah, so safety and security are our main selling point over here.
But does that justify the premium of the price of the bike? I mean, this price is really like close to 10x, 15x a normal bike, right? To be able to justify that based on purely safety and security systems, does it really cut it?
Oh, okay. Maybe I should put this in comparison. Electric bicycles are typically around this price. So you can see that our brands, our products are actually about the same price as other electric bicycles out there that does not have any of these features.
Mm. And you know, you said just now you were one of the first few pioneers and you were the first to have the hubless e-bike. But it is true that the Cyclotron 2.0 also was a hubless e-bike, wasn't it?
Yeah, Cyclotron, I believe Cyclotron was a brand that launched a couple of years ago but did not. We believe they did not make it.
Yeah, they didn't survive. They didn't survive because they raised money through crowdfunding. There were huge delays in production. One would even draw parallels to the situation you're in currently, isn't it? Why is it, do you think, you're going to be a success this time where they failed last time?
I think mostly has to do with the way we engineer the bike. So from day one, the way we designed this bicycle is so that it can be commercially produced. It's economical on a grand scale. So I think it has to be a supply chain strategy as well as engineering and manufacturing strategy that makes this a feasible product to develop.
One argues that the supply chain strategy that you have to adopt now will probably be in a very different situation than Cyclotron a couple of years back. You know, you probably will have many challenges in securing supply chain. What is your supply chain strategy to overcome the many logistical challenges that, you know, small, medium enterprises like yourself are facing day in, day out?
Yeah, I think supply chain always starts off with getting a great supply chain partner. I would say getting a great supplier for your parts. So we don't make every single parts, right? Our suppliers, if one wrong choice could have end up with a very different outcome on the other end. So we pick our suppliers very carefully and make sure that they can deliver the parts on time within reasonable quality.
So I presume with supply chains and suppliers, they will want to make sure that you as a partner have the liquidity and capital to finance your growth and expansion. How much liquidity do you have now in your bank accounts to be able to finance your growth plans to up to 15,000 bikes a year production?
Okay, so Our suppliers have never worried about our about liquidity on our side because we work with a 50-50 strategy. Means that we make payment before they start manufacturing each of these bikes. So not a concern on our side.
But it will come at a higher cost, isn't it, when you have those kind of pay cash on demand kind of solutions?
That's correct. It does come.
It does eat into your margins, isn't it? Also, isn't it? It does eat into your margins. So the challenge with your business is that, you know, you are small. They will demand, you know, tighter payment structures. You don't have economies of scale to justify. It will be a downward spiral if you don't have the demand that comes through, isn't it? And that's why the regulatory environment to reopen markets is core.
Yeah, I think this is something that affects most startups. And yeah, I think everyone have to live through this.
You have a very conventional way of raising capital. I think you have raised most of your capital through crowdfunding. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We use a platform called Indiegogo. Indiegogo is very close to a more popular platform. It's very similar to the Kickstarter. Mm. So essentially what you do is you can obtain a global outreach to whatever products we are producing. We're able to collect orders globally.
And is that the plan to continue to raise funds through all these crowdfunding platforms? Are you going to explore other sources of funding to grow your business? Or is there a limit to your expansion as a result of your source of capital funding?
Crowdfunding is just a very initial stage of a funding of many, many companies out there. So we started off with crowdfunding because we can obtain the necessary capital to kickstart to obtain the critical mass to kickstart production, but that it is not a great strategy long term. So long term, the company has to be sustainable by itself to fund its own growth.
And as we reflect on, you know, your 5 years journey so far in setting up Beano Technologies, I noticed in your website that you talk about pursuing and even rejected a job offer from Shimano. Any regrets doing this?
No regrets, but yeah, I think sometimes we have to make necessary sacrifices to make something else happen. Yeah, give or take.
But if you could do the last 3-4 years differently, what could you have done differently?
For me, there's another possible possibility that we may be releasing two different models instead of I'm talking right now. Revo is a much more premium model. If I were to restart, I could have released another version that is just a little bit more economical to cater for the lower end of our buyers. Yeah.
So if you could redo it all again, you would have looked at your product portfolio and introduced a model that had broader mass appeal.
That's correct.
That's all the time we have for today on The Breakfast Grill. I'm in conversation with Alec Lim. He's the chief executive of Beano Technologies as we celebrate World Bicycle Day. I'm Philip C, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.